It was marvelous. Thank you. I want to begin this morning with a story that I think will help us focus on the work to which God calls us. It concerns a monastery in Germany which trained members for a variety of tasks within the Roman Catholic Church. The story is about one brother who lived in mortal fear of being called upon to preach at the morning chapel service for this faith community. So he decided to go to the prior, the chief monk, and let him know up front that he was willing to do most anything. He would go out in the fields and fertilize the fields. He would scrub the floors of the monastery. He would polish the silver altarpieces. Anything but preach in the chapel service. Well, the prior was not a very kind man, and he decided then and there that tomorrow this brother would be responsible for leading that time of worship. This poor soul didn't know what to do. He went back to his small, sparse room and was truly beside himself. The next morning he looked into the eyes of his peers as he nervously asked them, "Brothers, do you know what I'm going to say?" They all shook their heads no. He continued, "Well, neither do I. Let's stand for the benediction." Well, you know, the prior was so angry that he came to him right away, right after the service, and he said, "Look, I'm going to give you another chance tomorrow, and you'd better do it right." Well, the next day came, and the scene was the same. The young man began as he had the day before. He said, "Brothers, do you know what I'm going to say?" Well, and they all nodded yes, knowing he wasn't going to say anything. He responded, "Well, since you know, there's no point in my saying it. Let's stand for the benediction." And they went out. Well, at this point, the prior was livid, and he was fed up with this young man's shenanigans, and he said, "Tomorrow I want you to preach the service, or I will see that you end up on nothing but bread and water." Well, the third day, the scene was the same. He began the same way. He said, "Brothers, do you know what I'm going to say?" Well, now they were really confused. And, you know, you saw some of them shaking their heads yes, and some shaking their heads no. And he said, "Well, let those who know tell those who don't, let's stand for the benediction." And they went out. There is a word that sticks in the throat of every contemporary congregationalist. And that word is evangelism. We think of it as telling someone else about God and about Jesus and how they can know Him. Our reaction to this word is to have a quick benediction so we can get out of here. But if I understand our scripture lesson for today, this assignment is not a suggestion, but a command which was made to them as a result of being baptized by the Holy Spirit. Evangelism is taken from a Greek word, evangelion, which means good news. Evangelism is sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. It's telling others about His death and resurrection and the forgiveness of sins. The implication here is, let those who know tell those who don't. It's something we are to do through the lives that we live. Sharing what God has done in your life and in mine. That's what we're called to do. 1 year during Lent, the church in Los Angeles read together Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. And not surprisingly, being congregationalists, not all of us agreed with his approach and his method of doing and being church. But I think he has something when he suggests that evangelism helps fulfill our purpose. The first chapter of the book of Acts says, "You are to be my witnesses." A witness is someone who simply says what they have seen and what they have experienced. Our call here is not to be great theologians. Our call is to share what God has done in our lives. I need to remind you, too, that this charge is not made just to clergy or missionaries in the field, but to every one of you here in this room. In the book of 1 Peter, the author expresses it this way. He says, "We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that we may declare the wonderful deeds who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light." You know, most people I know want to be silent witnesses. Most people I know would say, "Well, my deeds are my witnesses," and that's a powerful witness, to be sure. But if we cannot say why we do what we do, who gets the credit for what we do? We need to tell people why we do what we do and thus give God the credit. Because it's God's work to which we're called. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you will be my witness. Deeds without words are sort of a half witness, and probably better than words without deeds. But I think God wants both. Acts 13:36 says, "When David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep." I was thinking that maybe that would be a wonderful inscription to place on a tombstone. He served God's purpose. Isn't that why we worship in this place? To remind ourselves of our calling? Aren't we here to nurture the spiritual dimension of our lives? To equip ourselves for ministry? Aren't we here to become those who know and share with those who don't know? One writer suggests that there are four possible responses that we might make to this call of Christ to active discipleship. Here are ways we might respond to the assignment God gives us to serve His purposes in our generation. We could have, as Moses did, respond at the way he responded at the burning bush, the time when he experienced the reality of the living God calling him to mission. He reacted by saying, "Who, me? No, I don't speak very well. Why don't you send my brother?" We could respond like Jonah. We talked about him a couple weeks ago. When God called him to carry a message of hope to Nineveh, the capital city of the ancient Jewish enemies, "Not me," he said. And he promptly booked a passage on a cruise to the other side of the world. We could respond to God's call in our lives the way Jeremiah responded when God called him. Just before the nation fell to the Babylonians, Jeremiah was forced to flee to Egypt for safety, saying, "Why me?" Or, you know, we could respond the way that Isaiah did in the year that King Uzziah died, when he came into the temple and experienced the reality of the living God. And one of the seraphs took a burning coal with tongs from the altar and touched his lips. And Isaiah said, "Here I am. Send me." My friends, our purpose here is to serve God's purpose in the here and the now. Let us be those who know, telling those who don't.
Amen.